Remember that song from Journey? Anybody like the band Journey? Anybody have no idea who Journey is? Yeah, if you're wondering who Journey is, it's the most influential Filipino frontman-led band in the world. Yeah, that's right, baby. Put us on the map. And they have, of course, that famous song, Don't Stop. How much more do you know? Oh, wow, y'all know a lot. Praise the Lord. I love that song. I remember when I first started coming to church, one of my favorite sermons that I ever heard in my life was a message called Don't Stop Believing. And it was about the fact that we are believers. And I love this title of being believers. It's important. It's critical. And I'm cool with that. I think we should still be called believers. But I've been making the case in our church that for most of us in this room, we've got the belief part locked up. We've got belief on lock, that we have no qualms calling ourselves believers. But what I've been talking about in our church is that we're not just believers. We also need to be known as followers. That belief is a great starting point. Amen. We want believers, right? But if we are going to be all that God has called us to be, we're not meant to just end at the doorstep of belief, that we're actually supposed to continue on and also be called followers of Christ Jesus. That at one point we used to be called followers of the way. And so we're in this series in our church called We Who Follow. We're trying to put a little pizzazz, if you will, on this word follow, because the world wants to denigrate. The world doesn't want to make you want to desire this title as follower of Jesus. But actually, I think it's one of the most powerful things that we can be called. Any followers of Jesus in the house this morning? Okay, we're getting somewhere. Recap from last week. I had two quick points, really. I had three, but I'll recap two. First and foremost, everybody say first and foremost. First and foremost, we follow the way of Jesus, okay? Whenever Jesus called new disciples, I love that he used this simple call, follow me. And so above anything else, we are first and foremost followers of Jesus. You cannot go wrong by above all else, following Jesus. Can I get an amen? Secondarily, but point two, I talked about we are supposed to follow the way of another follower. Follow the way of another follower. Turn to your neighbor and say, am I following you? Maybe. Well, let's find out if you should. And so Christianity is a fellowship faith. It's not a solo sport. It is a fellowship faith. But more important than that, it is a followership faith. It is about who we are following, and we're called to follow right models. And so Paul talked about this, like I mentioned last week. Let me quickly recap those verses. Oh, well, I haven't even started the timer. That's like 5 minutes of extra credit right there. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. He repeats this in 1 Corinthians 4, 16. He says, therefore, I urge you, imitate me, talking to the people in Corinth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7, he says, you know that you ought to imitate us. He's not just talking about himself. He's talking about him and the apostles. We were not idle when we were with you. All the disciples, we never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, we need to work hard. Turn to your neighbor and say, work hard, nerf hard. Day and night, so we would not be a burden. We certainly have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. So actually, a part of this Christian life in making disciples and being disciples is that there should be examples for us to follow. And then my last reference in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, he's writing to the church in Philippi. He says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. I feel as though I've made an appropriate case that not only are we called to follow Jesus first and foremost, but in going and making disciples, aka the Great Commission, we're actually called to follow and imitate other followers of Jesus. And so I asked the question last week, who are you following in your faith? And so I read this passage out of Philippians chapter 3. He says, learn from those who follow our example. And Philippians chapter 3 is actually an extensive passage of scripture that he ends by saying, follow those who example our faith. And listen, so we're going to read through Philippians chapter 3 together, verse by verse, and we're going to extract some truths this morning. Is that good? We're doing a Bible study together this morning. Is that all right? Okay, I've got 11 points today. Who's ready for it? I was in the green room. I told him this is the most points I've ever had in one sermon, and they started placing bets on how many verses I'd get through. Like, they were, like, establishing the over-under. This is what happens when one of your leaders is in sports betting. Praise the Lord. Right here. Come on, praise God. Let's pray for him. Hallelujah. I told him, you want to win this bet? You better bet on number 11 right there. So here we go. Philippians chapter 3. Actually, pull out your Bible. Turn with me. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to just read. So just keep it open. We're just going to read this. You got your Bible? Come on. If you brought your Bible to church, hold it up in the air. Hold it up in there. I'm trying to see how many of these Royal Youthers got Bibles. Who's got them? Come on, fellas in the back going strong. Chandler? You got your Bible, but you also got the AirPods in, bro. Are you really here? Are you here? You're not listening? That's the wrong answer. That's not right either. Come on, bro. The right answer is I'm only listening to you. Yeah. The right answer is then I'm following your faith, pastor. There it is. Praise God. Man of God right there. Okay, here we go. Philippians chapter 3. Here we go. Let's read together. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters and sisters. Did I say sisters twice? Rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about the group of people who are trying to rip off the new covenant believers and trying to foist circumcision back on them, okay? And he says, I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs. This is the origin of he got that dog in him. He said, watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. It's about a works-based salvation. And so we're reading here, and he begins to start laying out the kind of faith that we're called to follow. And the first thing that we can glean from the kind of faith that we are supposed to follow, the kind of followers we're supposed to follow, first we need to know that there are bad examples. There are some bad examples that we should not follow in this life, okay? Now, I am a millennial. Any millennials in the house? Any Gen Z in the house? Any boomers in the house? That's right. And the forgotten generation, any Gen Xers in the house? You don't matter. You don't matter. I came up and I feel like we were probably the first generation that was taught this, don't believe everything that you read on the internet. Remember that? That's what they used to tell us millennials. Just because it's on Wikipedia doesn't mean it's true. Yeah. And so, someone just said, what? I just did my entire dissertation off Wikipedia. And then it became cliche. It became this like, oh yeah, we all know that. And, you know, not everything we read on the internet, it became so cliche, but I actually think that concept needs to be revisited. Because it's not just about what you read and what is on Wikipedia or what website you go to anymore. The remix of this truth is this: just because someone on social media says that they are a Christian influencer does not mean that they are a follower of Jesus who's worth following. And there are hashtags out there that look like they are leading us closer to Christ, hashtag deconstructing, hashtag exvangelical, and they could seem like they are something that is trying to draw us maybe deeper into the faith. Here's the problem. The Bible says that we are to judge all things by its fruit. Here's the problem with that. We might be able to rationalize to ourselves and to others that, hey, I'm just trying to dive deeper. And maybe you have a genuine self-rationale around that. The problem is I'm not seeing the good fruit out of these movements. And I judge things by their fruit. Amen. The fruit is bad. And so here's what we need to get a better filter about in this modern day, that just because something has the label as Christian, the label as follower of Jesus, does not necessarily mean it's a good example. Because there was a group of people saying, hey, I want you to understand salvation. I want you to know what it is to really be saved. And this is what you have to do. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to make some cuts. And then Paul is trying to say, it sounds righteous. It sounds like you got to do all these things. It sounds like you're on the right path, but these people are some dogs. Some dogs. I have to keep going. I told myself I can't sit on points. There are some bad examples, okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. It's not what you see on the outside that is determined whether someone is truly circumcised. It's those of us who worship by the Spirit. Any spirit worshipers up in this place? Man, what's going on up there? It's kind of crazy. Spirit worshipers, we worship by the Spirit of God. We are the ones who are truly circumcised. Here's my thought about that. We're going to follow people that contend for the faith with you. You need to follow someone who contends for the faith with you. What do I mean by that? Okay, this faith of ours needs to be something that is regularly contended with. We are called to be people who contend for our faith. What do I mean by that? There's a fight. Let me lay some foundation down. We are people who make truth claims. We are a people who make truth claims because Jesus made truth claims. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one, someone say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. Acts 4, salvation in verse 12 is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. John 3:16, I don't know if you've heard this verse. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God, someone say one God, one mediator, someone say one mediator, between God and mankind, the man, the Christ, Jesus. We live in a world where exclusive claims upon truth is considered a faux pas. The problem with that is that every truth claim is exclusive by its very nature. That is one of the qualities of truth. And those who claim to have no religious opinions whatsoever have standards by which they judge certain people as good or bad, meaning every single person in the world makes claims to truth. The difference is between our truth claims and maybe other belief systems is that Buddha will not heal your marriage. Muhammad cannot heal your sickness. Universalism, the secret, the Illuminati, whatever it may be, we have a yoga group, but it's not even going to be your yoga instructor squeezing your glutes that are going to lead you to the path of life. I love yoga. We do the Christian version. But Christianity, what we need to understand about Christianity, it's not harsh exclusivism. I'm sorry, Landy. Exclusivism. I should say that right. It's not harsh exclusivism. It's compassionate inclusivity. It's compassionate inclusivity. What do I mean by that? I love this quote from Tim Keller. He says this, all religions are exclusive, but Christianity is the most inclusive exclusivity that there is. It is the most inclusive. Why? Because we know that Jesus died for all of mankind. And grace is open to everyone. The people in whom the world says is good, and the people in whom the world says is bad. You know why it's an inclusive grace that's open to everybody and will forever be open to everybody for all time? Here's the reality of this. What the world considers good and bad changes with every decade. who is welcome and who is not welcome changes with every decade. Who is the power and who is the not in power? Who is the oppressor and who is the oppressed? Who is the majority? Who is in the minority? What is right? What is wrong? What you can say? What you can't say? How you can behave? How you can't behave? What you can smoke? What you can't smoke? It changes every decade. And what has been unwavering and unchanging throughout the history of time is the fact that this, Jesus came and died for the saint and the sinner. Can I get an amen? Everyone can come to Christ Jesus. That's the truth. Here's the problem. We place a higher emphasis on our truth than on the truth. What did I just say? Your truth is ever changing. Your truth shifts with the times and the seasons. My goodness, what I think looks cool changes from week to week. Look at me right now, my God. I'm gonna look back on this Sunday in about 2 years and be like, why did I wear that outfit? That looks so dumb. Your truth is forever shifting. And so what do you need in your life? You need to follow someone that is willing to contend in the faith with you, who's willing to challenge you, who's willing to question you, who's willing to, when you start to veer off of the highway of life, the narrow road rather, of the way, and you find yourself drifting towards the highway of the world, you need someone who's willing to contend with you. I love this, and Paul said this to challenge Peter in Galatians chapter, let me quickly shift, Galatians chapter 2. There's a passage in your scripture where the Apostle Paul calls out the Apostle Peter, Big Pete, St. Pete. And he says to Peter, hey, I had to oppose him to his face. Galatians 2, verse 11, for what he was doing was very wrong. Verse 14, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? There was a contending of our faith. And for you, you need to ensure that there are people in your life that you have set as I'm following them as they follow Christ. They should be people who are willing to call you on your crap. Can I say that on Royal Remix Sunday? Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to call me out. Say, on my crap. Hey Ryan, don't be saying crap at home all the time, all right? Just that's for Sundays only, okay? I saw his parents getting nervous. Let's keep reading. Come on, Philippians 3. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, Paul says, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Good Lord. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law with fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless. Here's my next point about who you should be following. You should follow someone who has a testimony of transformation. You should follow someone who has a testimony of transformation. Paul says, I used to be about my performance. Paul says, I used to be about my status. Paul says, I used to be about my title. But now things are different. If you're going to follow someone who follows Jesus, I want to encourage you. You better know that Christ Jesus has gotten a hold of them and changed them into somebody new. I'm not following anybody until I hear from them. I used to be like this, but then Jesus got a hold of me. Now I'm like this. I used to struggle with this, but then Jesus got a hold of me, and now I'm free. I want to follow someone, even if it requires that they may walk with a little bit of a limp. I want to hear that Jesus has rocked them in somehow, some way. Now, here's the deal. I used to think it's much easier to have a testimony of God if you weren't living right in your life before. And that had to be the only way that God could really wreck you, that everybody had to have this season where they go through it. But can I just tell you, let that not be your belief, because it's a lie. Paul was a religious man. And so can I just tell you this? I want to be a church that raises up the next generation to not have to believe the lie that they got to go take a season of running from God and have their, prodigal son season before they can be on fire for God. That is a lie from the pits of hell. No. Can I just tell you this? Paul begins with the saying, I had the blessing of my ancestry. I had my full attainment in religion. I was a law follower and I was a zealot. And yet, because Jesus encountered me, my entire perspective shifted. My entire value system shifted. Let that be the testimony of people in this house. He goes on, he's saying, I was a member of the Pharisees. I demanded the strictest obedience. I persecuted the church. He says, that's who I used to be, but none of that matters anymore. That's not who I am. The world wants to sell you the lie that you are who you are, how you feel, and that things can never change. The gospel is about when Jesus gets a hold of you, everything changes. I want you to repeat after me, church. Say, Jesus, because of his grace, accepts me as I am. Jesus, because of his love, wants to change me. And someone worth following has a testimony of Jesus changing who they were into who they're becoming. Let's keep reading. Verse 8. I'm making good time. Verse 8. He says, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else. I count it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Here's my next point. Follow someone who has a different value system from the world. Follow someone who has a different value system from the world. It's kind of like what we were talking about in the series of Sabbath at the beginning of the year, that we as followers of Jesus ought not value the way that the things of the world and the people of this world value things. We shouldn't value it the same way. Now, there's a lot of things that are valued in this world that actually are Christ-centric values. Those things are cool. So don't get it twisted that just because it's something that the world values doesn't mean it's something that we cannot value. I'm talking about the things of this world that the world values that is antithetical to the value system of the church and of Christianity. And so if you are somebody who follows someone whose value system is the way of the world, you're going to grow not in the things of God, you're going to go in the things of this world. And so you need to evaluate, what are the priorities of my life? What comes first in my life? How do I live in a way that's not like my classmates, my workmates, the people in my neighborhood, the people of this world? Amen. We've got a different value system. I'm just going verse by verse. Let's keep reading. He says, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. You gonna follow someone? Follow someone who stirs up your faith. Follow someone who's a faith person. By faith, through faith. Paul depended on faith. And not just someone who believes in platitudes, not someone who just believes in Christian sayings. If you're gonna follow someone, follow a person of faith. My pastor, Pastor Steve, he's a faith man. He's still declaring things by faith, and I'm just like, I don't know why you're still saying some of them things. It just means he's got more faith than me. And so for me, I want to be somebody who continually not falls backwards in my capacity for faith, but I want to be the kind of of Christian and kind of pastor that the longer I go in my walk with Jesus, the more faith-filled I become. There was a season there, I remember when we first started in ministry, I was declaring things by faith. And then, you know, like 5 or 6 later years down the road, I was like, I don't know if I can believe in that anymore. I'm not seeing it happen. The kid's not there. Amen? But if you're going to follow someone who follows Jesus, can I tell you, choose somebody who is walking by faith, who is stirring up your faith. And I was stirred to believe again. I remember when we walked into this building, for those of us who were waved previously, and I remember my pastor in the midst of quarantine, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of things going backwards and being reckless and upside down in the world, my pastor said, have you ever thought that maybe God could give us a building? And now for me, I'm like, man, I don't have enough faith. If I'm supposed to be someone in who people follow, my faith game has to grow. I want to start declaring by faith that land behind this property. I want to start declaring by faith that land that's behind this property. Last time I heard, they wanted $2 million an acre. Nope. I don't believe that price tag. Nope. I got more faith than that. You want to walk with somebody, you want to follow somebody, hey, follow someone who stirs up your faith, who calls you to believe, who calls you to dream, who calls you not to choose pragmatism, but who calls you to choose the supernatural. Which leads me to my next point, verse 10. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Listen, I'm about to get Pentecostal. Verse 10, my point that I get out of that, you need to follow someone who wants to experience the power of God. You should follow someone who wants to experience the power of God. Amen? I want to follow someone who still knows what it is to be in awe of God. I want to follow someone who still knows what it is to put their natural nose up to the fabric of the Holy of Holies in the spirit realm in worship. I want to be somebody who follows somebody who believes for the miraculous. I want to follow someone who still wants to see the glory of God. I want to follow someone who's still believing for miracles to break out in this place. I want to follow someone that doesn't believe revival is for our city. I want to follow someone who can believe for revival in the 804. I want to follow somebody who wants to experience the power of God. I remember being a young person when I first got saved, youngish. And I remember the youth pastor at the time was like, hey, I see you. And I was like, what's up? He's like, hey, tonight after service, I want you to meet me at the back parking lot. I've heard rumors of the back parking lot at that time, but I didn't know what went down because I hadn't gotten the invite. And the youth pastor said, meet me at the back parking lot tonight. And I thought I was about to get beat into the church. I didn't know what was going on. I was like, man, this church is tough, bro. I mean, it's different, but I didn't know you had to get beat in. So I showed up, two sweaters on. All the dudes just explained to their wife, so he didn't get you if he got beat up. That's someone who's been jumped before, right there. That's someone who's been jumped before. I remember we rolled up. I just rolled up, and then there was a bunch of guys there. Check, still seemed like I'm about to get jumped in. And we said, all right, we're about to pray. And we just prayed, and we were storming heaven in a way that I didn't even know it was called storming heaven. And we was praying. We were praying in the spirit. And we were laying on hands, and we were just, man, I remember just people praying for me, and I had friends, and I had my pastor praying for me, and I remember being overwhelmed by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it was just something that I'd never had happen in my life. And I'm thankful for that, because it set me up for now an entire life of believing for greater. And then for me, and then that led me to know how to do it in my own life. And I remember when I was leading a community group of men, And so I decided to do something kind of DL also, not make it public and make it think like guys were going to get beat into my group too, you know? Like, I like that vibe. And so I said, hey, we're doing something. And I was like, they were like, what is it? I was like, we start Midnight Madness. They're like, what is that? Midnight Madness. I said, midnight, here's the address, show up. Midnight Madness, bring two sweaters. And I just remember it was on a Friday night, every Friday night for like a whole summer, Midnight Madness. Why? Because I still had friends that every Friday night, they were doing something else at midnight. And I said, bump that. I ain't jealous of them. I'm pursuing God. So I said, Midnight Madness. And we would meet different places. One of the places we used to meet, I'm from Virginia Beach. We used to meet at Oceana. And so I was real cheeky. I was like, you know where it is. It's down the street from that strip club. And I was like, I don't know where that is. And then it was this place. It was called the Hope of Flame. And it was this never-ending flame that was right outside of the Air Force field off Oceana Boulevard. And we'd show up there at midnight. And what I did is we'd all bring our Bibles. And we all started reading the Bible. But we didn't just read the Bible. Now we started. I had each one of them prepared to preach the gospel. I had each one of them prepared with a word from the Holy Spirit. I had each one of them ready to prophesy over one another. I had each one ready to declare God's call over their life. Midnight Madness. I want to encourage you. Follow someone who wants to experience the power of God. Not just same old, not just rules and regulations, not just got to do this or got to do that. No. Find someone who's still in awe of God. Find someone who's still trying to take ground in the Spirit. Philippians chapter 3, let's keep reading. Paul says, I want to suffer with him about Jesus, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. You know what I get out of that? I get that you need to follow someone who's not afraid to suffer. So follow someone who's not afraid to suffer. And I ain't just talking about youth group where you used to have Fight Club before service. That's not what I'm talking about. Royal Youth Remix has me reminiscing of all the things we did wrong when I was in youth group. Really quick, we used to have a night service. So what all the youth leaders used to do, they used to show up at church. I should not be sharing this. I'm already there. So there was a hidden part of the church called the ministry wing. And what the guys used to do, do you remember this? Yeah, you do. Jenna remembers OG 757. The guys used to bring two sets of boxing gloves and we would legit have Fight Club before Sunday night service. That went on for months. The kibosh happened because dudes started rolling reservists with like black eyes and bloody lips, like, thank you, Jesus. Like, what's happening with the youth? Like, having Fight Club before service, you know, I don't know. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you need to follow someone who's not afraid to suffer. I believe that God has promised a good life. I believe God has promised a blessed life, but I also know and understand that God did not promise a life without suffering. He didn't promise that. He says that I will be with you on the mountaintops and the valley. And so guess what? There's going to be valleys in your life. And you need to follow someone who knows what it is to walk through the valley. And you need to follow someone who's not afraid to suffer. Can I just tell you, Christianity, I don't know if you've discovered this yet, it's not always popular. I was speaking to one of the business guys in our church. And a long, long time ago, he asked me to pray over his business at the opening of a new location. So I came, I just encouraged, I tried to be my really warm, loving self. I had all of his clients there, and we prayed over the success, prayed for God's favor, you know, declared it, you know what, this is a Jesus business. I said all that. And you know what happened? A bunch of people ratted that guy out. A lot of people complained that this person was trying to bring religion on his workplace because it was like a part of a chain, if you will. And in the midst of it now, like there's a whole thing of where the corporate enterprise is trying to take these locations away from this business owner. And I talked to this business owner, and he just says, you know what? I wouldn't change a thing. I'd do it all the same way again. And I was like, you're a man worth following. You're a man worth following. Because I want to follow someone who's not afraid to suffer. A model to follow isn't afraid of being on the wrong side of the opinion of the crowd. And there's times where you're going to walk alone. And guess what? Sometimes, some seasons, that's going to be your cross to bear. Jesus knew what it was to live an influential life. Jesus knew what it was to live an attractive and compelling life. We should want and believe for that. Amen. And yet also, at the same time, Jesus knew what it was to have the crowds leave him and turn their back on him when he spoke truth. You follow someone who is not afraid to suffer for the gospel. You follow someone who does not bend every single knee at every single time to just make everything nice with the world. You're gonna follow a man or a woman who's following after Jesus. You follow someone that is not afraid of persecution and suffering in this life. Let's keep going. Verse 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, Paul says, but I press on. Someone say, press on. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus has first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. What do I get out of that? You need to follow someone. Mike, are y'all sending texts to see how many points I'm getting through? Chris? Chris is sending you texts saying he better be wrapping it up. Oh, I'm gonna stop this timer right now. All right, here we go. You know what I get out of that? I'm just kidding. You know what I get out of that? You need to follow someone who knows what it is to persevere. You need to follow someone who knows what it is to persevere. Megan and I, just last week, were sitting on the playground looking at our girls playing, all three of my little girls, and we were just talking about the season that we're in, the year that we're in, how long we've been married, and we were reminiscing, and we were just like, we're getting that age where we're reminiscing about things that make us feel old. And we were like, remember when we were in church and we heard that Pastor so-and-so, that they had been married for 10 years? Like, remember just feeling like, wow, that's crazy. And remember when we were like talking and they were like, yeah, they've been in the church for like 5 years. Like, that was like as long as the church had been around, basically. And when we think about the fact that now, like, we've been married for 12 years, like, we're those people. That when we talk about, like, how long we've been married and, like, the fact that in our church, we've been in our church for most of the time that our church has been a church. it blows my mind. If you're going to follow somebody, follow someone who knows how to stick it out. Follow someone who knows how to stick it out. Don't listen, you need to give people time to prove that they're not a here today, gone tomorrow kind of a person. You need to follow someone who's got more in front of them than they do behind them. More in front of them than they do behind them. I love John and Susan. Who loves John and Susan? John and Susan is like, we got to meet with you, Pastor. I was like, let's go. I got two sweaters on. What's up? And met in my office, and John and Susan were like, man, we are ready to see our Caleb ministry in Wave Church launched this year. If you don't know what that is, it's like the biblical model of Caleb that says, you know what, give me my mountain, even though he was, I don't even know how old he was. How old was he, John? About 500 years old. 80 or 90. I thought you said 89 at first. I was like, wow, that's a really exact date, number. And when I talk to them, they would tell you, they say, we have never been as fired up in ministry and in serving God and what is ahead for us and our church and the ministry of the church than we are right here, right now. If you want to follow someone, don't follow someone in which all they have to talk about is the heyday of their faith. You follow someone who has faith and vision of what's in front of them. Don't follow someone who just burns up like a lightning bolt. That don't make no sense. Follow someone who's gonna last. Amen? Follow someone who has shown the fruit of perseverance. Amen? All right, we need to keep going. Verse 15, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. Verse 17, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Dang it. I got three more points. Should I end it? All right, now be honest. Do you really want me to end it though, for real? All right, I'm going to fly through it really quick because here's my three quick points. Those are who you should follow. Number three, come on, young people, do you want me to end it? Hey, I want you to know Bryce was like, yeah. Yeah, end it. That's your son? Yeah, Pastor Kev has his notebook out. That's the man of God. That's the leader of that house. That's the who. I'm just going to give it to you. I'm not even going to preach it. All right. That's the who. Let me give you three points about the how. How to follow somebody who's following Jesus, okay? Number one, just really quick. I ain't going to preach it. Number one, open up your life to who you're following. Open up your life to who you're following, okay? What am I talking about? I'm talking about accountability. I'm talking about confession, Proverbs 28:13. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Jesus is not fixated on your sin, but he is looking for your repentance. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Accountability talks about sin and weights. Fellowship is more than about your sins. Open up your whole life to them. Open up your whole life to them. Confess your sins. Here's what I did. But also fellowship means here's how I'm thinking. Fellowship is also, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking this way. What do you think? Am I thinking right? I've been reading this verse. Is this right? Like, you know, open up your whole life, not just what you do with your hands, but what's happening in your head. Oh, that's good. Point two, how you follow someone worth following. Swallow your pride and welcome wounding wisdom. I wish I could preach this. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Amen. One of the greatest leaps that you will make in your faith is when you get the revelation that godly counsel has your best interest in mind. Ask the person you're following, what are the blind spots that you see in me? Where have I drifted? Where has my heart grown cold? Please call me out on it. If we have people who act as guardrails for our life, if they're doing their job, sometimes you're going to get scratched up. But better that than falling off the side of a cliff, okay? Worship team coming up here. My last point, point three. Listen and follow their guidance. Listen and follow their guidance. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. I hate that verse because I want to do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I want to do me, you know? I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I'd rather my pastor, you know, not give me stuff to obey. Oh, I'm the only heathen. I'm reading the word of God over you. Obey your spiritual leaders, do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. I don't just follow my pastor's model. I submit to their guidance. I'll say that again. I do not just follow my pastor's model. I submit to their guidance. No one can make you do anything. You a grown man, probably. Some of you. There's great wisdom to be found in this book. And if you're looking to walk with the wise and to become a disciple who continues to grow in following Jesus and being discipled by spiritual leaders, you need to pray about growing into greater submission and obedience. Not that many amens.
Amen.
Unfortunately, what is often the case in life, and I get to see the best of times and the worst of times, okay? Here's the unfortunate truth. That typically it's not till the stuff hits the fan that people sit down with me and say, I just want to fix this. Tell me what to do. I'll do anything. Why wait for that? Why wait for that moment? Amen. Open up your life to a spiritual leader. Swallow your pride. Welcome wounding wisdom. And listen to them and follow their guidance before you have to. If you receive the word this morning, give God some praise.